It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's always good to be in this house. I was just thinking back, way back in the distant recesses, and probably it was 38 years ago that we got involved with this church. Became members and so on and so forth. And who remembers Nether Row? Once, I thought that'd be about it. Yeah, the hall before this. And towards the end, there's big lumps of plaster that have fallen out the ceiling. Remember that? So God has brought us a long way. But we came out because we had a dream, we had a vision, and we had a word. And today I've just come with kind of a simple message. You've heard, you probably know it, but it's always good to be reminded. I think truth, you need to be reminded again and again and again, because we are apt to forget. Now, you have to excuse me. Coming in the car, I started sneezing, so it's got up my nose, not you. And I've been sneezing and sneezing. It's not a cold, don't worry, I'm not contagious. Somehow or another, just... So, all right, we're good to go. So the kind of title of the message is, Has God Said? So shall we pray? Loving Father and Heavenly Lord, we do come before you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. You just love us so much. That when we're faithless, you remain faithful. That you are good. And today, Father, would you help us? Will you help us to get a fresh revelation of your faithfulness, that you're watching over your word to perform it. And Lord, where we may have lost something, you know, lost the vision, lost the dream, lost the hope, may it rise up again. The words you've spoken to us personally, the words you've spoken to us collectively, would you come and invigorate them and revive them? To your glory and to your praise. We ask these things. Spirit of God, you are here. Jesus said you will be our teacher and our guide. And you will lead us into all truth. So take center place today. Lift up Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen. 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 Has God said? What was the first question? Really? And I think it's nothing unusual. Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, has God really said? Because doubt, once doubt comes, we tend to, same with our flesh, really. Our flesh would cry out, not you today, you're all saved and sanctified and holy, lovely people. But every now and again, my flesh cries out, has God really said? Or is his no really no? Or is it a maybe? Or am I the exception? So today, and you all live there. We all do it. I know the Bible. I've got a lady I know. She's not here, so. And she's got this saying that really, really aggravates me. And it's this, I know God said, but. Well, either God said or he didn't. Where's the but come into it? We just need to get our butt out of the way, don't we, really? I didn't say anything, I'm English. But we do. Everyone's got this exception. They're the exemption. They've got the waiver. But today I want to speak to us as the people of God, because we have these great and precious promises that we need to remind ourselves about, and we need to revive them again. Listen to this, Matthew 5 and 37. Jesus said this, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. And anything that proceeds other than this is sin. Now, if God requires that of me, how much more should I require it and expect it from him? That his yes is a definite yes, and his no is a definite no. Good. God says what he, God means what he says and says what he means. There's no ambiguity, there's no grayness. When God speaks, he speaks. And he speaks in terms that we can understand. Because if he didn't, well, how could we believe? So his yes is a yes and his no is a no. So very straightforward. And we need to be as straightforward to this. Listen to this, James chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Let not you suppose that this man will receive anything, for he is double-minded. See, until I can say, God, you've said, regardless of circumstances, feelings, conditions, bank managers, doctors, whatever, but God, you said, your yes is a yes, and the no is a no. You are absolute. There is no swerving, changing, good days, bad days. What you've said is what you mean. Can you say amen? Because you need to get this revelation, because life comes and, you know, I mean, I'm a word of faith man. I'm living happy, happy, and all of a sudden you go to the doctor and the doctor says, and you think, hang on, I didn't expect that one. But God, you said. We must always come back to that. Because otherwise, this happens, that happens. We're like, what does it say? Like a ship on the sea, tossed about to and fro. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. God's yes is yes and God's no is good. If we could remember that a bit more often, we'd do a lot better, wouldn't we? Isn't it funny how we want an absolute God, but God, you said, when things are going bad, but when things are going good, well, did you really mean that? You know, it's just the nature of humanity, really. This question we need to resolve, really, because without Hebrews 11 and 6 says this, that without faith it is impossible to please God. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by and good. So as we take God at his word, faith comes and I please God. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Look, listen to this. God himself said an interesting thing. If you've got your Bibles with you, or if Don, if you, or Jean, if you want to, Linda, pardon me, if you want to pull it up. Isaiah 43 and 26 says, don't worry. God himself says, it's not a problem, put me in remembrance of my word. Now, get this. God doesn't forget. You know, I, that's why I dislike getting things. You never know what's going on behind you. Isaiah 43:26. Put me in remembrance of my word. God does not forget. So why does he say, put me in remembrance? What he's saying is, what are you asking me from my word? What have you come before me with? Put me in remembrance. I promised to be your deliverer. God, will you deliver me? Yeah, I promised. I promised to be your provider. God, will you provide? Yes. Put me in remembrance. I've said it. Now put me in remembrance. And you and I so often do not put God in remembrance of his word. We put him in remembrance of our feelings. I don't feel well. And we put him in remembrance of what Mary said and Harry did and what Robert thought should have done and everything barring what God has said. See, God ain't committed to what Harry did. He ain't committed to what Mary said. He's committed to what he said. We all do it. We've all got that propensity to kind of not take God at his word. Put me in remembrance of my word. So we need two elements if we're going to put God in remembrance of his word. One is to call to mind his ability, and the second one is to call into remembrance his faithfulness. Abraham and Sarah, I love these two scriptures. Very quickly, listen. One says this, Romans 10:21. Speaking of Abraham, being fully convinced that what he was had promised, he was able to perform. See, it's one thing to know that someone's able. But the other thing, of course, is he willing? Sarah, Hebrews 11 and 11, isn't it? She judged God faithful to what he had promised. I said to Paul, I would do it. My word is my bond. I'm a man of integrity. Therefore, I will do it. I'm a faithful man. We need to judge God. Not only is he able, but he is willing. He's faithful. There was a leper who came to Jesus, remember? It's the only time in the Bible, by the way, that anyone ever questions God's willingness to heal. Isn't it funny? We're surrounded by people who want to question it. But it's once in the Bible. A leper comes to Jesus and said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Remember that one? Now, he wasn't questioning Jesus' willingness to do it. He was questioning his worthiness to get it. It's the only place in the Bible where that question ever arises, about God's willingness. And of course, Jesus reaches out and touches him and immediately says to him, be made whole. It's the only place. See, I want to tell you two things. God is able and he's willing to perform his word. So often we ask something of God that he hasn't said. If Ian comes and says, Ken, give me £10, I don't remember saying I'm going to do that. In fact, I'm that tight, I probably won't. But, you know what I mean? I'm not committed to that word because I'm not giving it to you. But what I have said, because I'm a man of integrity, and because I'm watching over my word to perform it, and because I'm faithful, I can do it. Now, pick on Ian again because he's a big bloke, you can't miss him. If I said to Ian, I'll give you £1 million. Yeah. Well, no, because you all laugh because you know straight away I haven't got it. But she judged God faithful to his promise because she knew he had what he said. And we need to judge God faithful. Firstly, because he's able. But secondly, because he's willing. And once you start getting to this, you see, you're hedged in by the word then, aren't you? Rather than blowing this way or that way, God, you said it. Now, I don't feel it. The doctor says I ain't got it. Everything around me says that I ain't got it. Hang on. I know you're able because you created the world. Can I give you another one? What time do you wrap up in this place? What time do you finish? 12. Let me give you a good one. And Moses one day is out in the wilderness. Exodus around about chapter 2, isn't it? One day Moses is out in the wilderness and he sees this bush concerned, burning but not consumed. He thinks, that's strange, I'll go and have a look. So he goes over and all of a sudden this voice says, take your shoes off of the place where you stand. It's holy ground and all that. I've heard the cry of my people, and they come up, go and deliver them. Blah, blah, blah. And Moses turns around and says, well, when I get there, they're going to ask me a serious question. They're going to say to me, who sent you? What's your name? And God turns around and says, the strangest thing. He says, I am who I am. Do you know what that means, actually? It literally means, I am the complete one. The self-sufficient one. I am whatever you need me to be. Isn't that lovely? So when I need a friend who stays closer than a brother, he turns around and says, I am. When I need a deliverer, he turns around and says, I am. When I need a comforter, he turns around and says, I am. But he don't turn around and say, I was. And so many of us have got a God who is not the great I am, but the great I was. He's not the great El Shaddai. Do you know the El Shaddai one, another one of those Bible names? The all-sufficient one? Literally means the big-bosomed one. It does. It means whatever the baby needs, well, bless God, I've got it. Whatever you need today, I want to say something to you. God's got it. He's not the great I was. He's the great I am. Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I am the Lord. I do not change. Listen to me. See, God's made a promise. And because he doesn't change, that promise stands. Can I give you a word, big word, remember it over lunch? Immutable. I don't know what it means, but I thought I'd give it to you. Faithful. We talk about integrity. We talk about all these wonderful words. Now, God can't ask it of me if I can't expect it of him, surely. Let me give you some more scripture. You're getting tired already. Listen to this one. Psalm 78, verse 44, says this. Again and again, they tempted, tried or tested God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And limited. Now, I always find the Bible as a wonderful book. I always just kind of find it as a living book. And, you know, God, 10 miracles has brought Israel out. He's given them water from the rock. He's given them manna from heaven. He's given them quail. Again and again, he's shown himself to be God. And all of a sudden, they come up to the edge of the promised land. The promised land. The land that God had promised to them. Sends off 12 spies. They all come back. 10 of them say this. It's a good land, man. It floats with milk and honey. The grapes are as big as footballs. It is the business. Ah, but there are giants in the land. Remember the story? And Israel limited the Holy One. I mean, you think of it. His track record so far has been pretty good, hasn't it? Yeah, oh, part of the Red Sea. You know, he's shown himself to be the big guy, really, hasn't he? Come on. And yet they come to, what's a giant or two? They forget his ability and his faithfulness. What do? They limit him. Because our danger comes something like this. He can save me, but can he heal me? He can save me, but can he deliver me? He can save me, but can he give me a wife or a husband? He can save me, but can he? And before we know where we are, we've got a God who is a designer God who suits us as far as salvation and heaven's concerned. Everyday living, everyday relationships, everyday circumstances. Can he do that? See, for example, now, every night I pray for my grandbabies. Every night. Why? Because I've got a promise from the Word of God. I've got a few of them, actually. And I put him in remembrance. The same Spirit that's on Isaiah 59, the same Spirit that's on you, and the same Word that's on you will be on you, on your children, and on your children's children. My grandbabies. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This promises to you, to your children, and to as many as far off and as soon as the Lord our God shall call unto himself. Put him in remembrance of his word. You've said it. God, I am believing to see my grandbabies in the kingdom. So the oldest one's been baptized. The others are following on. He's, what, 12? Speaks in tongues. I want them all. My word. Because God has said it. Well, they're all going to have the terrible twos, my name. They're all going to backslide when, weren't they in the Bible? Train up a child in the walk, and whilst you're walking, it was like, you know. So we need to start thinking and saying, God, what you said, what you mean, and mean what you said. You do not lie. That's the background to all of this, Numbers 23:19. We'll get there. Ready? Listen to this. They limited the Holy One of Israel. I like this scripture. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Because if I ain't got one, I can always make another one, because I'm God. So the prophet in verse 17 says, Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is too hard for you. Could we today just pray, God, would you settle that in our spirit, that nothing, absolutely nothing, is too hard for you. The impossible, Jesus said, remember that one, where Jesus says, all things are possible to those who believe. Believe what? Jesus also said, all things are possible with God. So what does he say? He's saying, if you will believe that all things are possible with God, the impossible becomes possible because God has promised. Am I making sense to you today? You know, he finds a wife, finds a good thing. That's what the word says. So if she's a good thing or not at the moment, she is, because God said it. My wife, husband, don't treat me right. Well, start praying the word of God. Husbands, love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. Start praying the word. Start speaking. Don't start feeling your feelings. Start doubting your feelings and believe God. So many of us believe our feelings. So many, well, she said, who cares what she said? What? Is she God? The younger I get, the more I realise that time is precious. And I'm not going to waste the day on what she said when I know there's a God in heaven who has spoken and I need to take him at his word. Who has a bad day? My word. What a waste. And she's gone on her way, having a great day. You're sitting there. Blah, blah, blah. Come on, I need to move on. Pardon me. Yeah, listen to this. So, what do we need to do? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You all know them. It's probably the first one you learnt when you got saved, or one of them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Lean not unto your own. Isaiah 55:8. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. Yeah, I know, but Just get your butt out of it. Listen to this one, Hebrews. You're not going to like this. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. I'm going to have to sort of get to this. It says this. An evil heart of unbelief. How does it describe us? An evil heart of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, I think, and is it verse 19? Someone very quickly with a Bible. It says this, that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And God had promised them a land. God had shown himself strong. He had delivered them. He had brought them out. He had brought them onto the edge of his promise. And because of an evil, wicked heart of unbelief, they did not enter into it. Can I say to you today, God has made great and precious promises to us. 2 Peter 1, verses 1 and 2. God's made great and precious promises to us. But is it possible for us to have an evil, wicked heart unbelief and not enter in to what he has promised? That's fine, don't worry. Amen. See? The baby's there. He's got it, I tell you. All right, Numbers. That's where we're going to go. Chapter 23, verse 19. You all know this one. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and will he not do it? Has he spoken it and shall it not come to pass? First thing to notice is this. God is not a man. Very profound, very deep, very... And yet so often we judge him by human standpoint. The bank manager says no. The doctor says no. Fred says it's impossible. Mary said it's impossible. And suddenly we say, God, it's impossible. And we start limiting the Holy One of Israel by, and we try to make him a man. We bring him, you know, we think of him at this level. At the natural. But what is God? God is supernatural. He's outside time and space. He has no limitations. And yet we tend to bring him into time, into space, and into human limitations. That's why the Bible, you know, a book about God says, oh, by the way, God is not a man. Neither is he the son of man. Same kind of concept. God is not a man that he should lie. Now, it's possible for me to say to Ian, I'll give you £10. I might even have it, if not, I'll borrow it off my wife. Because she's definitely got it. But then, I mean it at the time. But then go to Val and say, Val, have you got that tenner? And she says, I ain't got it. Oh, it's not that important. Suddenly what I said and I meant at that moment now has become a lie. Because I won't do it. Does that make sense to you? She says, if Val calls me for dinner and says, dinner's on the table, and then she starts talking to someone on the phone, which happens quite often. That, and I come in ready for my dinner at the table. Believe it or not, that's a lie. Because she said one thing and did something else. And that's the meaning of that scripture. God, don't say one thing and then do something else. He cannot lie. He's immutable. That word in twice. There's another word I really love. I've got to get it in just so I can. Look at the leaves outside. Have you noticed how autumnal it is? There's a word you don't use very often, isn't it? Autumnal. But anyway, God cannot lie. Cannot. See, so I give my word with best intentions, but I don't do it. That makes it a lie. Whereas God does not change. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I do not change. Remember, forever, O Lord? Psalm 118, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is established in heaven. Jesus himself said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever. He doesn't change. Do you think that's good? So a word that was spoken by a prophet 6,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, is still standing today. And God is just waiting for someone who will say, do you know, God, I thought about this. I've judged you. You're able and you're faithful. Now, God, you said, put him in remembrance of his word. Simple as that. He's not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man he should repent. Oh, as he said it, and will he not do it? Jeremiah 1:12. It's a lovely scripture, but this is one of the first ones I learned. I'm watching over my word to perform it. Don't you like that? So God made a promise to you. And he's saying, I'm watching over that word because I can't lie. I'm just waiting for the right moment for you to take me at my word so it can manifest. Don't you worry about, oh, I'm getting old, is this, is that, what translation you're using. I'm watching, if you use a Revised Standard, you'll see it says that. I'm watching over my word to perform it. Do you think that's good? He didn't just see some abstract word and walked off. But he said, listen, I said to Ian, I'm going to give him a tenner. I'm going to go and sell Val's jewellery, just about make a tenner, and give that tenner I owe Ian. I'm watching over my word. It cannot fail. It cannot fail. Why? Because he's asked integrity of me. How much more can I expect it from him? We need to get this revelation. I said it's a simple word. If I'm going over myself, you've heard it before. Great. Are you doing it? It's not the hearers of the word that are blessed, but the... Well done. Oh, yeah, Isaiah 55 again, verse 11. So it is with my word. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that for which it was sent, and will prosper, do well... I'm watching over it. It will not return to me void if someone will just take it. We've not got time to talk about faith and patience and time. Because that's the one that always... oh Lord, give me patience now. Faith and patience and time are a separate issue altogether, and that's probably one of the things we stumble on. But let me give you a couple, and I'm going to wrap this up for you because it's your time. 2 Chronicles 6:4, this is nice. And this is a summary of what I said. Blessed be the God of the Lord God of Israel, who has fulfilled with his hand what he spoke with his mouth. Don't you like that? 2 Chronicles, chapter 6:4, there's a nice scripture for you. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has fulfilled with his hand what he promised with his mouth. And that's Solomon speaking, I think. Dedication of the temple. Do you like that? See, I've spoken it, and now I'm going to do it. He's waiting for you and I just to start taking him at his word. He's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Repent means to change your mind, by the way. It don't mean he's committed sin. Repent means a change of mind. So when you read that scripture, don't think God ever sins. God is not a man that he should lie. I used to throw me that one. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. What's he done wrong that he needs to repent of? It literally means, repent, the word means to change your mind. He don't change his mind. Can I tell you one, just in closing? He loves you, you know. And you know, he loves you, not only when you're good. Because he can't change his mind, you see. He's immutable. So God loves me when I'm good. He loves me exactly the same, when I'm bad. In fact, you said it earlier, God commends his love to me, in that while yet we were sinners, Christ died for us. See, get this today, would you? He likes you. I might not. I do. But he don't only like you when you're nice. He don't only like you when you're in church. He likes you. Do you want one of my little stories? I've got three daughters. There's a woman who's dying. So she calls in her first daughter and gives her a little envelope. That's for you. So she goes over, looks inside. It says, you know you are my favourite. So she calls in the second daughter. Gives her a little envelope. Because the first one's walked out. What does she say? Oh, nothing. So the second one. You know, you're always my favourite. What does she say? Well, the last one comes in and gives her a little envelope. You know, you're always my favourite. Get this. God has got no favourites. We are all recipients of his favour. And that makes us favour right. Each one of us are his favourites. When we're good, when we're not so good, he still loves us. His word stands. Who's ever done this one? Oh, I need something from God. Oh, I better stop doing that. Oh, I better start fasting a bit more. Oh, praying a bit more. Do you know what? That hasn't moved God at all. What he's done, he's got sin out of my life. God was for me before that. God had already spoken over me in his word. Waiting for me to get unbelief out of my life, get doubt out of my life, get all those things out of my life, that I can just say, God, you said it. Now, one last scripture. I can go on about this all day. It's Acts 27. It's one I really like. All right. And then I'll give you, that's the end of it. Acts 27. I think it's around about verse 33. He says, whenever you say that, you worry. Go on, let's see what comes up. Acts 27, verse, is it 33, he says? Try 25 instead. See, I told you I was wrong. Try 25 instead. That is verse 25, I'm sorry about that. So, get the scenario. They're in a boat, 14 days, It's gone like this. They've thrown everything overboard. We're doomed. You know, everything's going wrong. The crazy evangelist prophet of God goes down in the bow of the ship to pray. Can you imagine the guys upstairs? Man, we're drowning. That crazy guy's gone to pray. He comes up and says, "Be of good cheer." Hang on, he really "Be of good cheer. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God of whose I am and whom I serve. And he has said to me," and he goes on and he says this, "and I believe it will be exactly as it was spoken to me." What a wonderful summary for you and I. If we could start taking God at his word and turn around and say, "I believe it will be exactly as it was spoken to me." Yeah, and it is true. We have to go through sometimes. We have to not necessarily go the route we expected to go. But I want to tell you something. I believe it will be exactly as it was spoken to me. And we need to start for Church on the Way. 38 years ago, we had those great and precious promises. We need to start putting God in remembrance of his word and say, but you said, "Sir, I believe God, that it will be exactly." Your marriage is struggling. God, you said. Your children are wayward. God, you said. Physical issues, but God, you said. Financial issues, but God, you said. And that's where Ephesians 6, is it 14? That's where it starts becoming a sword of the Spirit. That's where you start cutting away unbelief. And that's where you start coming through to victory. Shall we stand and pray? "But God, you said that the entrance of your word would bring light. You said your word is alive and active and a sharper than any two-edged sword. It makes a division between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and exposes the secret thoughts and intents of our heart. God, you said. You've instructed us. You don't tell us to do things that we can't do. You said, put me in remembrance of my word. Father, today I just feel privileged to stand in this precious place, thinking of all those prayer meetings and all the words of prophecy that 38 years ago I was privileged to be here and be a part of. Thinking of those who have died in faith, those who have gone on before, believing. And you said, in the fullness of time, your word comes to pass. So, Father, today we are those who are not unbelievers. We are not those who are doubters. We are those who come before you in the name of Jesus with your word in our mouth, putting you in remembrance. You've got many people. I remember one of those words. You've got many people in this town. Father, we stand on that promise. I remember another one. A little child shall lead them. Father, even now, we thank you for the one child out in Sunday school, but we want to see more. Father, you've spoken these words, and your people believed you. And we're standing today that it will be exactly as you have spoken. Father, this church has gone through some things, but your word hasn't changed. You knew the end from the beginning. So, Father, we come before you today celebrating the great work that you're going to do in this place, celebrating the great work you're going to do in these lives, celebrating. Oh, Father, thank you. We've not got a wicked evil heart of unbelief. But sir, we believe God. We can't tonight. I just pray afresh for each one of our hearts to be stirred to believe God, to take you at your word, and to call the devil a liar. We give you praise today and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.